Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcast Network. RBN, it is the place for free speech, you know it. And it's also the place for coffee mugs and t-shirts. And you can contribute $115 and get a coffee mug and a t-shirt. You can double that up and get one for the missus or for your son or, you know, something like that. Father's Day, for your dad. Do that at republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button. Go to nationalbugle.com. Download the CoSertified app because it's everything you want to be. If we can take control over our food intake, what can't we take control over? So, all right, that out of the way. This is Wednesday, the Wednesday show. Patrick and Jeremy, part two. So, Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Patrick. As always, an honor to be with you.
With you and with me and Mini-Me and Mr. T, and we're all out for a walk. You might hear a little bit of ambient noise. That's how it happens sometimes. I bet even Bill Gates has to go walk his dog. Do you think he walks his dog?
I don't know if he has dogs, but, you know,
his
when we do the pet... That's a man, baby. No, I don't know. I don't know. That's totally conspiracy. I know that it's not a proper Patrick and Jeremy if you're not walking your dogs. That's what I know. And so I'm like, I welcome.
Well, it wouldn't have been a proper storm front if I wasn't walking my dogs.
Exactly. But whatever she or it is, Mrs. Gates is leaving Bill, and there's all kinds of theories out there. I've heard theories saying that Bill Gates is going to be in a lot of trouble with the vaccines and that he's transferring his wealth to Melinda in order to save it. And recently, though, I pulled up a Stormer article that I do want to cover saying that she's divorcing Bill because of his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. The plot thickens. And we've all seen those pictures of Epstein and Bill. Oh, Billy Boy Gates over at the mansion. And I don't know, Anglin doesn't think that's what broke up the marriage, but he finds it very interesting. According to the Telegraph, which the Stormer article does quote, Melinda Gates first contacted divorce lawyers 2 years ago after the scope of her husband Bill's relationship with billionaire pedophile Jeffrey Epstein was made public, it has been claimed. Mr. Gates met with the disgraced financier on multiple occasions, even posing for a photo at the New York townhouse where Epstein was accused of abusing young girls, and he once stayed there late into the night, according to the New York Times. Let me give a little bit of my take on this. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, you know, one bit that Billy Boy Gates and Epstein if he was doing the dirty with the underage. That's not been confirmed, but it wouldn't surprise me with him being so powerful and one of the wealthiest men on the earth. I think he's in the top four, right along with Bezos and Elon Musk. And so, you know, these, with Epstein being an operation through the Mossad that blackmails our politicians, they also blackmail our most powerful, wealthy billionaires who have a lot of influence. So none of this would surprise me at all. But the real take that I wanted to give is I find it interesting and a little disturbing, and it worries me, that Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci are allowed to be the boogeymen. Have you noticed this? Like, normie conservatives, it's almost like a George Soros effect where, you know, at first, before Trump, nobody heard about Soros. But then it was George Soros this and George Soros that. It sort of worries me when they allow these powerful men to be boogeymen. And now they seem to have allowed Fauci and Gates to be like the bad guys of all of the bad things that happened with the pandemic. You know where I'm going with this? Are you picking up what I'm putting
down? I think I do. So the boogeyman, you could also say a scapegoat, right? And you know, with George Soros, and George Soros, I guess when Glenn Beck was big about 10 years ago, he was going off on George Soros. So Soros has been around for a while, but really, I guess it was in the Trump administration that there was a big resurgence of George Soros boogeyism. They were doing the George Soros boogie. And now, of course, with both Fauci and Gates, you've got an added bonus where, you know, you're concentrating your anger on these two individuals, both of whom happen not to be Jewish. They're from that tiny 98% of the population that's not Jewish. And, you know, what a coincidence. So I don't know. Were you going in that direction at all?
That was what the direction I was going in is, what are they trying to get us to focus on, and what are they trying to get us to not see? You see, with Soros, I mean, normies before 2016 didn't know who he was. And now every normie Trump's supporting, you know, conservative, and even people that were not originally conservatives, the libertarians and moderate Democrats that were pulled into the Trump movement, now they're, you know, Soros is on their lips. Soros this and Soros that. And it just makes me think, like, anybody that the system is wanting us to concentrate on is making us concentrate on these people and not seeing, like, the bigger picture, not seeing who's behind it. That's kind of what it makes me go to. I mean, there's a lot of information out there about Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum and plots and things that they've put out about SARS pandemics that they talked about years ago, and even cyber pandemics that they talked about years ago. No one's really talking about that. I don't hear any normies talking about the World Economic Forum. So I'm wondering if the concentration on Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, George Soros, if that's not a distraction to see what's, like, who we should really be looking at. You see, and I wonder if it is the World Economic Forum.
Well, I think we've got a power structure, and it, you know, sometimes I'm talking about the Jewish power structure in particular, but there's a power structure that goes beyond the Jewish power structure, but is dominated by the Jewish power structure, and it's decentralized. And you know, there are people who want to try to trace everything back to a very small group of people, whether it was Papa Bush or Queen Elizabeth or, you know, the Black Pope or whatever it is, a few individuals who are issuing orders. But I think the reality is it's very decentralized, which doesn't mean you can't know about it. It doesn't mean you can't deal with it. But I think when you have a poster child, a boogeyman, that becomes a scapegoat. And, you know, all the anger's directed at, well, Bill Gates or Tony Fauci. And you're missing the big picture of, you know, what's been going on over the past 15 months or so with, you know, the fake pandemic, or I will call it the fake public health crisis, with the Black Lives Matter violence, the election. I'm probably missing something enormous. You know, you had mentioned Jeffrey Epstein a little bit earlier, and I remember a year and a half ago walking around in the creek doing Stormfront Radio and saying how the Jeffrey Epstein thing could be that big story that just brings down the whole house of cards. And, you know, weren't those days precious back then before these other
And even Epstein is on the lips of many conservatives now, and he's allowed to be openly criticized as a boogeyman, not saying that it's not legitimate. All of the criticisms of Fauci, Gates, Soros, and Epstein are completely legitimate. And as you mentioned, I mean, Epstein was, you know, the key man into this huge operation of the Israeli Mossad blackmailing our politicians and our people of prominent power in the U.S. and the world in order to get out of them what they wanted. So I'm not diminishing that. I'm just saying that they're getting us to focus on these guys while, you know, there's other things going on in the background and we're being distracted. I guess that's what I'm saying. Wouldn't you think that Epstein, wouldn't you agree that even he is being like normalized? It's normal for conservatives to talk about Epstein now? I've heard it.
It is. And I think Epstein is a big deal. Why a big deal? There was no good reason for anything he was doing, right? And it showed that, why did this person, who obviously had ties to the, it was obviously a Israeli Mossad asset, and this was basically a Mossad operation. And why did the Mossad need to have, compromising power, compromising information over our politicians? Why did it need that?
Yeah.
And that was a really important question. But, the thing is, you could talk about, if you have a few scapegoats, then what you miss is, look at all the people in the Biden cabinet that Engelbert Poindexter sang about. And that's a bunch of people. Look at all the people who run the media. Dr. Duke regularly lists off the Class A shareholder, or I guess the Class B shareholders of the New York Times, who actually control it. You could go through all the heads of the major media companies. You could go through the heads of the major social media companies or the major banking institutions, and you get these long lists, primarily of Jews. You can go through lists of Russian oligarchs. There's so many. And it would take a whole show to list all these people. And these are all important. And, they're all in their own way. It maybe is as important as Fauci or Bill Gates or Epstein. There's a whole bunch of them. So it's not as if, just circling back to the idea that you had Papa Bush and Queen Elizabeth and the Black Pope or, a few people who are controlling everything. And if you just round up 100 people and arrest them, then everything's going to get better. No. It's the power is much more decentralized and diffuse.
Yeah.
And that's what people need to understand.
With normies focusing on Epstein, even though he is an important figure, I don't hear them focusing on Ghislaine Maxwell or her father, Robert Maxwell. And they were really the ones, the power behind Epstein. So what it does is it makes the normies not go to, these people are Israeli spies with the Mossad. It makes them go to, this guy Epstein was a pedophile, and look at this pedophile stuff. As horrible as it is, that's where their focus sort of goes to. And it doesn't go to the overlying issue that you brought out, is that our politicians are being blackmailed by the Mossad. Right, the normies, instead of going there, they go to, this guy was just a pedophile. Look at all of our politicians are pedophiles, Pizzagate and all of the rest. They focus on the wrong things. Even though they're good things to focus on and they're evil, they're not getting to the heart of the matter. I guess that's where I was going with all that, you see?
Mm-hmm. One other thing is that if you watch, say, Tucker's show, they'll talk about Fauci, they'll talk about Gates, and then so often would throw in, they'll name drop China, right? Because mm-hmm. Fauci has a connection with the Wuhan laboratory or Disney. If they talk about Disney, they try to do business in China or Facebook. They are cooperating with the Chinese Communist Party to censor China. Like we should be concerned about censorship in China when we've got all the censorship in our own country. So there's that too. I think, if you concentrate on a few individuals and you miss the actual powers that are running our own society, then we can be diverted in this whole China thing the whole China thing for boomer conservatives and the whole Russia thing for liberals. Both of them are massive distractions from our own Jewish-dominated domestic elite that's actually causing the trouble for us.
And even though we can glean good things from Tucker, and we should watch Tucker to try to figure out the pulse of the conservative movement, just like I used to listen to Rush to get the pulse of the conservative movement, Tucker's kind of taken over for Rush. I've mentioned this before. We can use Tucker as a gauge as to where the populace is. You know, but Tucker will take you to the edge of the truth and then divert you at the last minute to China or whatever, and not let you get to the heart of the matter. And so that's something that we've got to understand. When they give us these boogeymen, we've got to say, well, what more to it is there? You know, what's the bigger picture?
Yeah, and that's what people aren't doing. And, you know, it's I think it's easier to conceptualize a small group of people whose faces you can picture. Fauci's face, you can picture Bill Gates and a few other people sitting around the table and plotting things out and issuing orders. And, you know, the orders is okay if Emmanuel Macron or the Prime Minister of Japan, if they don't do what we say, we're going to send an assassin out, or we're going to poison them and make a fake heart attack or whatever. It's kind of easy to conceptualize it like that. Maybe the decentralized power is harder for people, but you wonder, especially with libertarians who are so into, say, market economics and Adam Smith and the invisible hand of the market. Why can't you, if you can conceptualize an invisible hand running an economy, an invisible hand that is actually hundreds or thousands or millions of people making independent decisions in their perceived self-interest, why can't you think of politics the same way? And, you know, not everybody in the market is created equal. Not everybody in politics is created equal. You got certain groups that have a lot of power and certain groups that have very little. And that's what I'm talking about with politics, is it's decentralized like a market. It doesn't mean a market is fair, and, you know, markets can be cornered. Markets can be manipulated. And that's what's happening with our politics. But it doesn't have to be one person. I think there's a lot of actors, and that's the way I see it.
Exactly. And with a decentralized system such as this Jewish-dominated decentralized system, you know, the faces they put out there, they can change those faces. Fauci, Gates, Epstein, we saw how they changed the face of Epstein. They killed him. You know, if he was killed, some people think he was rushed off. Whatever, he didn't commit suicide. I'm gonna throw that out there. He was either killed or he was rushed off. At any rate, he was done away with.
His face changed, didn't it? Yeah, his face,
it did.
We don't have his face anymore.
And they can do that with Fauci and Gates in a heartbeat. And this divorce thing could be something that they're working on, is to get to do away with Gates and just to get his face off of there and replace him with whoever, because he is expendable, just like Fauci is. They're just talking heads. Soros is expendable. They could get rid of these people when they want to. And I'm not saying that's particularly what's going on with the divorce, but it could be. But what I am saying with your point of it being decentralized, and like the power doesn't lie in Gates, Fauci, or Epstein. The power lies way beyond them. They're just talking heads. They're just faces that are put out there. And we could just be seeing an instance where they do away with these faces and they put somebody new up in a couple of months. And it doesn't have to be an assassination. The media, just all the media has to do is just quit talking about them. And then they're gone.
Right, and the media is a very important part of this decentralized system. But anyway, we are up on the first break. Okay. We'll be back after these important messages. Danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. Every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number. Hadn't checked it. Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now.
The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
And we are back. And last segment, I mentioned in passing French President Macron. He's really popular, isn't he?
Yeah. I've got an article from RT, Civil War is Brewing in France. French military launches another salvo at Macron with a new open letter. So let me just
go into that, because this is a big deal.
A group of active French military personnel has published a new open letter to the country's president, Emmanuel Macron, warning him of a civil war brewing in the country after all of the concessions he's made to Islamism. The letter, published in the conservative Valeurs Actuelles magazine on late Sunday, strikes a similar tone to the message published by the same outlet last month. Unlike the previous one, which was signed by 25 retired generals and active duty soldiers, the new letter is anonymous and is open for signing by the general public. As of noon on Monday, it had attracted over 100,000 signatures. The authors of the letter have described themselves as active duty French soldiers belonging to the younger generation of the military that saw actual combat over the past years. Quote, "We are what the newspapers have called the fire generation, men and women, active soldiers of all armies and of all ranks, of all opinions. We all love our country. These are our only claims to fame, and while we cannot by law express ourselves with our face uncovered, it is equally impossible for us to stay silent, according to the letter. So if I'm understanding right, this very embased French military is pushing back on Macron because of his acceptance of Islam invasion. Now, is that what I'm getting? Or that seems to be what it is from the letter.
So that's what it is. And if you've been to France or Belgium or a lot of other neighboring countries over the past 20 years, even 40 years ago, there was a lot of I remember walking around, I guess it was Frankfurt. Was it Frankfurt train station in 1980 something? And there was Turks all over the place. And, in parts of Paris or Lyon, there was Algerians or North Africans all over the place. But even more so now, and it's gotten to the point where in contrast to the United States, where it's the inner cities that have that are full of blacks and whatnot, in France, it's the suburbs. Although inner cities now too, but originally it was the suburbs. And if you were talking about bad areas, it was the suburbs. And so these areas that have Muslim majorities, they're on the verge of becoming little ISIS, Islamic states.
So the French military is pushing back on this, almost threatening a coup d'etat. Is what it sounds like to me, based. If only the United States military would take such a stance against the invasion of our country. But the French have a spirit of revolution in their genetics. I do not agree with the French Revolution. I think it was a bad thing overall. It was, financed by the Rothschilds, and you had the Jacobins take over in the Reign of Terror. And everywhere that Napoleon so-called liberated, you had liberal democracy where homosexuality and divorce was decriminalized. So it was not a good thing. But what I'm pointing out is that the spirit of revolution is in the French people, in that they were told, they were sold, that these Germanic kings were oppressing them and that their poor living conditions were because of the bourgeoisie. And so they revolted. And, you had a major thing going on there. And so I would welcome that in current year as a revolt against the government that is flooding them with immigrants.
Yeah. So, and we're not just talking, when we're talking about French being an unruly people or having the spirit of rebellion or revolution, we're not just talking about the French Revolution of the late 1780s, 1790s. That's not what we're talking about, actually. I mean, that starts it. But when the French Revolution occurred, you already had, the United States was drawing up its Constitution. And even though maybe the Constitution is honored more in the breach than anything else nowadays, was still nominally we have the same republic. France is on its fifth republic. And in the meantime, has had, three Napoleons. It went back to the Bourbons. It went back to the kings. So you had, the French Revolution, and it turns into a republic, turns into an empire. Napoleon loses the War of 1812, goes back to, War of 1812, that's what we called it in North America, but the Napoleonic Wars, goes back to being a kingdom. Then you got a revolution in 1830, 1848, on and on and on. And, the current republic, the Fifth Republic, only goes back to 1959, Charles de Gaulle. And I've talked about that on some other shows, who the Fourth Republic was on the verge of collapse. De Gaulle was brought in to save it and started his own republic. We're up on a break, but we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Long last, we are back. And we were talking about not the French Revolution, but the revolutionary spirit of France. And just getting back to Charles de Gaulle. In the late 1950s, you had the Fourth French Republic, and it was trying to hold together a colonial empire. It had its armies over in Algeria fighting a very bloody civil war, or whatever, War of Independence in Algeria, and the army just basically was on the verge of invading France. The French army was on the verge of invading France because it was over in Algeria and the bulk of it, and it was going to invade France. And Charles de Gaulle was kind of like a savior, so he came in, and that was almost like a coup d'état. Charles de Gaulle rewrote the Constitution, and then 10 years later, massive demonstrations overthrew him. So these kinds of, government overthrows through, popular mobilization, this is very much part of recent history. A lot of people's living memory, and if they're younger and it's not in their living memory, it was what they were reading about in their textbooks and what their parents were talking about. And so, if any of the major Western countries could have a government overthrown, or have a military coup d'état,
If it could happen anywhere, it would happen in France. So that's my point.
What I appreciate is that they're pushing back against the Islamic invasion. One of the paragraphs in the article states that the authors have also indicated that at least some of them have taken part in the domestic operation Sentinel, launched after the devastating 2015 Charlie Hebdo terrorist attacks, and witnessed certain ethno-religious communities in France completely detached from the rest of the country. For such communities, France means nothing but an object of sarcasm, contempt, and even hatred, the letter reads. I find that refreshing that these French people, these military people, are revolting against the invasion of Islam. And I wish that we could see that all throughout Europe, especially in the Irish, which also the Irish have the revolutionary spirit, you know, with their ongoing war against Britain and the IRA and such. I do not advocate any violence, just throwing that disclaimer out there. And the only car bombs that I participate in are those with Irish whiskey, cream, and a good glass of stout. But that having been said, I wish that the Irish would, take note here and push back against the invasion on their island of 6 million people, with over 1 million immigrants being pushed into their island by the sodomized Indian homosexual that they call prime minister. And instead of focusing all their attention on the British, they should focus it on the invasion of Islam, just as the French have been. They're related, you know. I mean, the Irish and the French, both Celtic. Would you agree?
Yeah, the Irish.
I mean, everybody knows the Irish are Celtic. The French, well, you know, the Celts were all over Western Europe in Roman times. I mean, when the Romans were conquering Gaul, what's Gaul? Gaul is a Celtic word. When they were conquering Spain, it was Celtic. When they were conquering Northern Italy, it was Celtic. And the people and their genes remain in the north of France. The Franks were Germanic, and so while we like to think of France as being, you know, French is a Romance language, and we think of them as Latins, they're not really Latins. They're more Celtic and even Germanic than they are Latins. I guess in the south maybe they're a little more Latin, but yeah, I think.
Well,
but Celtic and Normandy, not Normandy, Brittany. Brittany still has speakers of a Celtic language, the Breton language.
Yeah, I mean, with the Roman Empire taking, you know, France and Spain, I mean, you had the Latinization of the language. Whereas in Ireland, it was never conquered by the Roman Empire. So, you know, with the French and Spanish, you had that. But I want to get back. I guess we got off a little bit on a rabbit trail. I just want to get back to the fact.
No, connection issues again.
Yeah, I'm seeing connection issues. Maybe we can press on. Next paragraph. Like the previous letter, this new one warns the Republic's authorities of an impending civil war, with the very existence of France being at stake. Once again, civil war is brewing in France, and you know it perfectly well, the letter reads. Civil war over the invasion of Islam. Again, I wish that all peoples of Europe and their militaries would react accordingly. Threatening a civil war to try to push back against this invasion of Islam, you know, basically meaning Africa, you know, the African peoples coming into Europe. I don't know, are we seeing the grassroots of some?
Well, I think we saw the grassroots with the Yellow Vest movement, the Yellow Jackets.
So,
yeah, they were revolting over gasoline taxes and whatnot. But I don't think typically, I mean, France has always had this type of thing, you know, where they dump out milk onto streets and things like that. But I think that even if the surface issue a couple of years ago was gas taxes, just like with Brexit, I mean, the core issue was the demographic change, and people are upset about that, and maybe they don't feel like they can voice that directly, so they revolt over other things. But the Yellow Jacket movement was, I think, was very predominantly a white movement.
Yes, and we see how that was met with extreme crackdown from the state, as is all the COVID lockdown hoax resistance in Europe. So, yeah. Where should we pivot to from here?
Well, I'm just
going to make one last editorial that, you know, if you read about what was going on in, say, 1912, 1913, on the eve of World War One, it was tumultuous. And if you read about what was going on in 1937, 1938, on the eve of World War Two, it was tumultuous. I think it's very tumultuous today. And, you know, this is nothing like what we were experiencing 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago in terms of,
yes.
I mean, you might have had a Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962, that we're on the brink of war, but it was like a passing crisis. And right now we're in permanent crisis, and anything could happen almost at any time. And it's really alarming, and I hope we can get the situation in hand. Now, where do we, you can respond to that, but, and then we can pivot.
No, I totally agree. I think that the American focus right now of the populace is on the COVID-19 hoax lockdowns and restrictions. That's where the focus is on, you know, if you want to talk about rebellion. Unfortunately, it's not with the immigration crisis. So, but I would say that the COVID-19 hoax lockdowns are equally important, and they dovetail because, you know, immigrants are allowed in to America without COVID restrictions. So, I mean, the two do dovetail. What I wanted to highlight was, you know, governors who are unhinged in the United States, they're being pushed back against by state legislatures. And this is one particular one I wanted to bring up from Indianapolis. Let's see, it's the webpage is loading. Okay, WISHTV.com. Council restores Marion County health orders after Indiana legislature vetoed an override. Indianapolis, the Indianapolis City Council on Monday night restored county virus restrictions after the state legislature veto override stripped the health officials of their power to make guidelines during health emergencies. We're seeing this in states. It seems like the governors and the health department all on the same page here are pushing their power, and the state legislatures represented by the people are pushing back and saying no, and they're overriding these governor's vetoes when the legislatures say, no, you don't have constitutional merit to make these rules, laws, whatever you want to call them. Then the governor and the health department push back, and we see this ongoing fight. So how is this in the spirit of revolution? Americans, definitely, white Americans, have the spirit of revolution in them. It's in their DNA. It's in our DNA. You know, do we see more of this? Do we see this progressing, making progress? What do you think?
Well, we need to see more of it. And I'm not going to go blackpilling. We need to see more. You could say maybe we should have seen a lot more already. All of these crises that we're talking about, all of these hoaxes we're talking about are so interconnected. And so, you know, let's just say the COVID and the immigration, for instance, they're deeply connected. They're using the COVID to or the corona apocalypse to keep people home from work. Right. They shut down businesses, keep people home from work. And then, you know, through this excessively generous unemployment, it is excessively generous, even though, you know, I don't want to see people hurting. But you do have a situation where people literally can make more money staying at home in many cases than going to work. And so what that leads to, a couple of things. It leads to a downgrading of the native population's work skills, whether it's work ethic, whether, you know, if they're in certain industries, you got to keep up your skills, you know, and if people are staying home, they're gaining weight. It's a downgrading of our labor, of our work stock, and which facilitates moving in immigrants to replace us. I mean, there's so many things are interconnected. You know, it was pointed out, and I can't remember where, but somebody, maybe it was even you, somebody was pointing out that the climate crisis, right? This, you know, this is getting people, especially like white people, it's making them less likely to reproduce, tying it to reproduction. And, you know, there was a lot of things that you can say about it. That wasn't something that was the first thing that came to my mind, but it's all these things are wind up being interconnected. And there are some places where you really should expect to see some pushback, where pushback could happen, you know, on masks, on vaccine, you know, vaccine mandates, where pushback is desperately needed, where it's very possible, and so far where it's lacking. But that's if we can start pushing back somewhere, and those seem like the easiest places where you could get pushback, it could spread. So that's how I see it. What do you think?
Yeah, and these legislatures in Indiana, specifically in Indianapolis, saying if local health leaders want tougher restrictions than the state issued, a city or council will have to pass them. The measure also allows the county commissioners or mayors to reverse emergency decisions, such as shutdown orders issued by their local health departments. The fight is between, it's like the health departments and the governor, mm-hmm. you know, against the legislature, which is the will of the people. And the will of the people says, you know, we don't care what emergency there is. You cannot infringe on our constitutional rights. And these health departments, you know, almost like commissions, you know, you think of French Revolution, right? The commission, they've been given such power over mm-hmm. the people, and the legislatures are saying, no, you can't do this. And that's the fight that I see. And that's a good fight. And I hope that we have it in every state, municipality, county seat, all over the U.S.
And okay. And now you're pointing out this
battle between the legislatures on the one hand, which you're saying are reflecting more the will of the people, and say the yes. executive branch on the other hand, the governor and the rest of the executive branch. And here's why that might be happening. Here's a possible explanation for it. The legislatures are elected in you know, relatively small districts, and you know, so if you're talking about Indiana, so Indianapolis and Gary and I don't know, maybe Hammond, there's a few places that might be heavily black where election fraud, I mean, where did we see election fraud? There might have been some Dominion voting election fraud, but for the most part, the election fraud that we saw recently was in black-run cities, right? Or, you know,
big cities,
or big cities, whether they're black-run or not, that have big black populations. That's where we saw it. And, you know, they can produce a whole bunch of votes and impact a statewide election. But election fraud in Gary isn't going to impact the local elections in, you know, a county along maybe the Ohio River or Washoe? Is that the name of the river that goes through Indiana? The Wabash. You know, it's not going to. So the legislatures are much less likely to be impacted adversely by fraud, because the fraud would only happen, or would primarily happen in districts that are going to be won by Democrats anyway. Now, but the right. fraud can impact the statewide elections a lot more, because you can have all of these votes that were. Where you can have precincts, black precincts, that have 120% voter turnout, and it would be racist to point it out, and no white person's willing to hurt the feelings of a black person and say, well, you know, actually, you had 120% turnout. That would be racist.
And that's how I sort of reconcile how Bashir got elected in Kentucky, who is overall, you know, a state that's overall conservative. It's because of Louisville, Lexington, and Frankfort. I mean, you know, bigger cities, largely black. And I think that was an election fraud that Bashir got elected. And because he's going against everything in Kentucky, I mean, all the legislature fights against him, all the lower level judges do. And he only gets support from the Kentucky Supreme Court, which is enough. I mean, it's enough to slap down any lawsuit that comes up. So if you had an instance where, you know, students didn't wear the mask in school and someone sued the school for not enforcing the mask, that would go up to the Kentucky State Supreme Court and get smacked down because the State Supreme Court sides with Bashir and the virus hoax because these two entities are basically chosen on those biggest cities in Kentucky.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms or you have a concealed weapon permit and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
And we are back, and wouldn't you know it, the Middle East of all places seems a little bit there's some unrest there. Who would have expected that?
As we are distracted with COVID-19 restrictions and liftings and gas going through the roof, pipelines supposedly being hacked, we got this stuff going on in the Middle East where Israel is just ramping it up and bombing women and children and Palestinians. The White House has a very kosher response. White House conveys serious concerns over Jerusalem clashes. More than 300 Palestinian protesters were hurt in confrontations with Israeli police as Hamas militants fired rockets toward the city. Rockets? More like bottle rockets, am I right? It's yeah. Like, you know, they fire these little piddly little things and then Israel responds with like jet strikes, you know, as if they're fighting another country's military, and they just blow these Palestinian houses out of the, you know, off the map. And so, you know, you've got the left, principal leftists who would be against this. And you've got Joe Biden, who is in office, who is the ideal, you know, of the principal leftist. But yet he's not, the administration is not going against this. They're just saying, oh, we just need to keep calm and just chill out. And principal leftists all over the United States are like, no, this is wrong. This is bad. What do you make of this? Let me kick it to you.
Yeah.
And by the way, Mike Rivero always does a good job covering Israeli news. So you might want to refer to that. But here's the thing. So you've got in the Temple Mount. Okay, apparently you've got some Orthodox Jews who are saying their Messiah has come. And I haven't gotten a chance to look into the guy that they're saying is a Messiah. But at any rate, if the Messiah is here, then it's time to build the third temple. And so you got to do something about the Al-Aqsa Mosque, maybe. Or maybe you build it next to it. I don't know. But I'm asking you, what's up with that?
Well, with Israel being in a state of blindness, spiritual blindness, and they rejected the true Messiah, Jesus Christ, whoever they bring onto the political stage is going to be the false Messiah and Antichrist. I don't know if it'll be the Antichrist, but it will definitely be an Antichrist. And this third temple is evil. It is going to be the temple, according to biblical prophecy, that the Antichrist signs an agreement with Israel and it puts his image up in this temple to be worshipped as God. And it's going to bring world wars to the globe. It's going to bring famine and pestilence. So from a spiritual point of view, this is a bad, bad development. And the greater the power of the state of Israel has, the worse things are going to get. And if they build that temple, just look for the bad times to come.
And one other thing that's going on, you know, for the past at least a couple of years, you've had election after election, basically hung election after hung election in Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu, who is a boogeyman to a lot of people in America, has been just, he's kind of hanging on in more or less caretaker governments. Some of his political enemies might be on the verge of ousting him. You know, that could wind up just being going from the fire to the frying pan or vice versa. And there's no good leadership on, you know, waiting in the wings in Israel. But that's as much time as we have today, Jeremy. Thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you, Patrick. You stay classy, RBN.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National News Radio.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.